Lord Jesus, we come to you and we love you so much. We are in awe of you and all that you have done for us. Lord, you went all the way to the cross because you love us so much. What can we do but serve you with our lives? And Lord, we thank you for, you know, the excitement of all the children with the snow. And, you know, you bring the snow. It's amazing. Lord, I pray that this morning our hearts would just be open to you, to your word, to hear what you have to say. We pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Pray, Lord, that our hearts would just be open and tender to hear your word, what you have to say. Be with us now, we pray, by your Spirit. Amen. Okay, so we're going to have a little look this morning at three keys to flourishing. And in the Oxford Dictionary, as Julian brought us on the first Sunday of the new year, in the Oxford Dictionary, this is the definition of flourishing. To grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as the result of a particularly congenial environment. That means, you know, a pleasant and helpful and positive environment. And so here we are at the beginning of the year, and we feel this is a word over us individually and corporately together, that we are going to experience what it is this year to flourish. So I thought let's have a little look at a bit of flourishing. Now, in the Oxford Dictionary, it gives the example of wild plants flourishing on the banks of a lake. And that's very similar to the picture in Jeremiah, that very famous passage you'll know of, where he talks about a similar thing of a tree flourishing next to a river. Now, of course, Jeremiah, we don't have time to go into his story, but Jeremiah was called as a prophet very young, and he had a hard job, didn't he? And he was prophesying to Israel that, you know, difficult times were coming if they didn't repent. He wept when they didn't repent. You know, he prophesied to the people, you know, carried off to Babylon. And so he really did experience firsthand what it was to thrive with God and to not thrive when you're not with God. So he's writing this as a prophet and out of his own personal experience. And so Jeremiah paints a very vivid picture, two pictures, of what it's like not to flourish and what it's like to flourish. So first of all, we look at what he says about not flourishing. And this is what he says. It's quite kind of poetic language now. And this is in Jeremiah 17, verse 5 and 6. He says this: "Cursed is the one who trusts in man and draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." And he'd seen that with his own people, hadn't he? "That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives." So he paints this really bleak picture that if we choose to live a life without God, trusting only in ourselves, trusting only in other people, it'll be like living in a wasteland. So not flourishing is to be like that little bush you can see on the screen there, in the middle of a desert, just all alone by itself. He says that when prosperity does come, that person will have no share in it. They'll be like living in a parched desert, alone in a place where nothing lives. Very bleak picture of living without God. Now, he gives three reasons of how we could get to that place of living in a parched, barren desert. One is to trust in man rather than in God. The other one is to draw strength from our own reserves alone and to turn away from God. So let's have a look at these three. It's interesting how when you compare the barren desert to the amazing tree by the river, that sometimes we don't realize how good we've got it till it's gone, do we? And here together, we have a wonderful thing being here together in unity. We have God's blessing on us as a church. We don't ever want to be going into a desert. And together as God, a community of God's people, we see the Holy Spirit on us. He is with us. He is blessing us. We see the gradual transformation of our own lives and other people's lives. And it's really important that we esteem church. Church has great value. Church is the bride of Christ. Church is a living community. Church isn't something distant that we can hold at arm's length and criticize, because we are the church. You and I together, we are a body. We are the church, and we are the bride of Christ. And it's important that we always esteem church, that we love church, that we put our energies into this community of church, because it is the bride of Christ. It is Jesus' church. We belong to him together. So anyway, Jeremiah says, we'll find ourselves living in a desert if we try and live life on our own, out of our own strength, by our own efforts. Now, we all know, don't we, that our human reserves deplete very quickly. You know, our own reserves of patience or energy or kindness or grace are depleted quite quickly. And Jeremiah is saying that if we try to live just out of our own strength, it'll become a very dry place. And that's why when we are serving God in our family, in our work, in the church, it's important that we serve out of our joy in our relationship with Jesus, that we don't serve out of duty, because duty is a dry desert place. If we serve out of duty, I must, I should, I ought, that's a very dry place. We can't sustain serving in that way. But when we serve our friends and our family and our community and our job and our home and our church out of just the joy of Jesus in our heart, then that will be the experience of being the one like the river and not in a desert. Now, there's a lot of pressures in our modern world. We're expected to have a very high standard at work and at home and our achievements. There's pressures of perhaps caring for those within our family or those who are sick. Sometimes we struggle with knowing what to prioritize. Many pressures come our way. There's also, in our world, many ways, a pressure to conform with the things that we have or the labels that we have. There's pressure to have stuff. Have you noticed that? All the time, there's pressure to have stuff. And I feel concerned sometimes for the pressure on young people in school to wear the right thing, young people getting married to have it all. You know, they look at people who have built a home over, 30 years, and they want all of that now, and there's a pressure to say you can have it. There's a pressure for significance, like we need to be important or significant or thought well of. And there's all these many pressures. But the only truly rewarding thing is our relationship with Jesus. When we are secure in that relationship with Jesus, that brings rewards above and beyond all these worldly things that we might seem to want to accumulate or the need to impress other people. And so Jeremiah says that facing these pressures in our own strength will be like being a lonely plant in a wasteland. And the message puts it like this: we will become like a tumbleweed on the prairie, rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. Because, do you know, if we try and accumulate stuff, it doesn't help us to put down roots, because we're always tumbling on to achieve and get the next thing. We're just moving on, we're moving on. It doesn't help us to put down roots, become rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. And the third thing Jeremiah lists that can leave us in a desert is, instead of trusting God, we just trust in man. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't trust each other. You know, trust is really valuable. But we do understand that because we are resource limited, it's only a matter of time before we let each other down. In human relationships, we will. There will be misunderstandings. We will disappoint each other. We are not as consistent as we would like to be. And if we only trust in people, we are destined to disappointment. And so, you know, it's important. He says it will end up feeling like you're in a desert if we put all our hopes in other people, because other people cannot reach our deepest needs in the way that God does. God is the only one who can reach our deepest needs. And out of having our deepest needs met, we have more to give into our relationships. But if we're living in a dry desert, we almost suck one another dry in trying to pull out everything we need from people. And that leads us to disappointment. We will let others down. Others will let us down. And it can become a very bleak place. And this is what Jeremiah is talking about. If we trust others, if we try and do it in our own strength, and if we turn away from God, we end up in a barren place. So that's the bad news, right? And sometimes you've got to paint the bad news to say, I don't think any of us want to live there. I don't want to. I don't want to be living in a desert in my relationships and friendships and my work life. And I'm sure you don't either. So Jeremiah then goes on to talk about flourishing in a life with God. And we know this famous passage here in Jeremiah 17:7-8. Now, as I read this out, I'd like you to Just open your heart to meditate in your own heart, that as the word of God washes over you, you just feel it go deep in your own spirit. Okay, you ready? So here we go. This is Jeremiah's words to them and now to us. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. If you look at that beautiful picture there, that tree with its roots going down into the river there, Jeremiah is painting this picture, and his heart was so for the people of Israel, saying, don't go there, don't go in the wasteland, don't end up in a desert, don't turn away from God and try and do it by yourself, but rather be like a tree with your roots going deep into the stream of God. You'll never need to be afraid, even when hard times come. And he paints this beautiful picture of life and water and green leaves, fruit and no fear. Now, the water here is God's living spirit. It's like a flowing stream. We are the tree with our roots constantly in that river, never needing to be afraid, that constant river of God that will never dry up. Do you remember the definition of flourish? Was to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as the result of a particularly congenial environment. Well, what better than for a plant to have constant access to water by a stream? Now, the thing about this tree is by, you know, a congenial environment, but this is what happens. When we put our roots deep in God, he becomes our congenial environment. He does. So whatever our circumstance, that's irrelevant now, because our roots are deep in him, deep in the stream. So whatever our circumstance, the environment may no longer be congenial, but he is our congenial environment. And so we're going to examine the passage a little bit of a couple of things to look at this morning of keys for us. And the first one is trust. When it says in verse 7, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Now, this is talking about our faith relationship with Jesus. When we move from just a head knowledge that God is out there, and Jesus was more than a prophet, but he was God himself who died for us. And we move from that head knowledge to actual birth of faith in our heart, that we now trust in God for our life. And we're starting out on a, you know, lifelong relationship with him from now and into eternity. But let's also examine the issue of trust. How do we trust in God? When Jeremiah says, happy is the man or woman who trusts in God, how can we trust him, and how can we have our confidence in him? If we walk in trust with God, it undergirds our whole life. Our whole life becomes secure when we trust in him. Jeremiah has shown us the alternative, and now he's talking about flourishing when trust undergirds our life. Now, our experience with people tells us that we will let each other down. And the danger is that when we begin not to trust one another, that we project that lack of trust onto God. And out of our human experience, we project onto God our earthly experience of damaged trust. And so we all go through life and experience being let down or disappointed or not being able to trust somebody. And the danger is we then project that human response onto God, like we're not sure if we can trust him either. And yet we need to understand that God never changes. He never changes. He's not like us. He doesn't blow hot and cold. He's not in a mood today. He didn't get out of bed on the wrong side. God is constant and unchanging. He is steadfast, faithful, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a human like us. He's so beyond us. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2 Timothy 2, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. The very character of God is unchanging. He cannot be less than faithful. And Malachi 3, he says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. He is love. This is a dependable love. It's so dependable that Jesus went all the way to the cross to demonstrate it. In 1 John 4, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Verse 16, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. I mean, God's love can mean discipline on our lives as well. And so we can trust him that we are safe with him. But he does sometimes discipline us. In Deuteronomy 8, it says this, think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. Proverbs 13, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. And so as we look at the unchanging characteristics of who God is, we interpret our circumstance through that lens. And this is true sight. And this will give us roots. Now, this is the danger for us, is that we look at our circumstance and interpret who God is through our circumstance. So we see things going wrong or pressure or difficult times, and we interpret who God is through those circumstances. It's the wrong way round. What we need to do is look at the character of God, of who he is, his love, his care, his justice, his faithfulness. And when we put on those glasses and look through that lens, we see our circumstance as God does. So it's really important as we mature as Christians. You know, sometimes people say to me, is God punishing me because it's all going wrong? Does God not like me today because this happened? And it's like a sort of holy superstition. It's the wrong way around. It's like taking off our glasses and turning them round the wrong way. Where we need to be looking at who God is, who his character is, studying his character. Get a little notebook out. When you do your Bible study, when you read in your Bible each day, start to make notes on the character of God, who he is, that is unchanging and never changes, and he's always the same, and we can trust him because he doesn't change. And then when we see the character of God, we look through that lens and interpret our circumstance through the lens of who God is, not the other way around. And if we do that, this is what puts our roots down. Because sometimes people say, well, I've been a Christian for a while, but I don't know how to go deeper. I don't know how to put my roots down. How do I do that? How do I experience more? Well, it begins with the trust in the total character of God, seeing life through his lens. And as we do that, our roots go deep because we truly understand who he is and who we are in relationship to him. And that stream is constant and unchanging, a constant supply of all that the tree needs. Jeremiah says that when heat comes, which means challenge or pressure or hard times, the tree is not damaged, it's not scorched, it doesn't shrivel, it doesn't die, but instead it has green leaves and even fruit. So it's talking about not just surviving this life, but actually fruitfulness in our life and the lives of those around us as we put our roots deep in God. And this is what flourishing truly is, with our roots deep in that constant stream. And Jeremiah explains, if we go it alone, we will often feel more and more distant from God, like he's far away in a barren place. But when we have our roots deep in him, we have that constant flow of his Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, in our world, I would say sometimes there's kind of two things going on. Sometimes we have like a soft option that when trouble comes, sometimes the human instinct is to run away, to hide, to deny, to hibernate. That when trouble comes, we don't want to embrace it. We want to hide from it, deny it. Hope that it will pass, shrink away. Sometimes when hard times come, we withdraw from the community of God and we become really isolated and on our own, and it becomes harder. we end up in that desert place. And I want to encourage you, when we go through hard times, you know, be here more. Really get plugged in with your small group and with Christian friends in the church. And you know, make yourself get here so that you can just have the worship of God. Even if you're going through a hard time and you can't sing, just to be able to be bathed in the songs of others as people worship. Even if you just come and sit and hear one phrase that helps you carry on. Don't become isolated, but stay here in the body. And so there's something about our human nature that wants to run away. And yet at the same time, there's something in our human nature that loves to celebrate triumph over adversity. Have you seen that? We love that. We love heroes. We love when things go right. And so you think about when we had the Paralympics last year. And every athlete who competed, there would be a fantastic story of what they had overcome to be there, soldiers with no legs and people who had done incredible things. And not just those who won medals, but anyone who actually got there to compete. It's truly amazing. It's inspirational. What about even, I was so inspired by when David Walliams swam the Thames to raise money for children, sport relief. And he got some kind of horrible disease from the Thames sickness. I mean, you just wouldn't want to swim in the Thames, would you? It's not a nice colour most of the time. But people will do incredible things and overcome things to raise money for those who are in difficulty. He swam 140 miles in 8 days and raised £2.5 million. It's amazing. We went to see a film over Christmas, The Impossible. And it's a film about the tsunami that happened in 2004. Remember the Indian Ocean earthquake and the tsunami? And it's a true story of a Spanish family, Maria and Enrique, I think. Something like that. And their three children, how they survived. And it's a story of many other survivors as well. And how we celebrate survivor stories. What about good old Bear Grylls? Now, the thing I like about Bear Grylls, he actually seeks out adventure and trial. Now, most of us are trying to just, you know, keep safe. But, yeah, he actually seeks it out, eats horrible things, goes to dangerous places. And in his autobiography, he talks about his encounter with God and how God sustains him. This is in his words. He says, "Storms make you stronger. When those times come, we have a choice. Do we cower and get beaten, or do we stand tall and face it? When you pursue an exciting path through life, you are inevitably going to have moments of hardship, doubt, struggle and pain. It comes with the terrain. If I'm going to enter a difficult jungle or an uncharted mountain range, I always make sure I have a good guide. Life is the same. Go it alone by all means, but you make the journey much harder. But you need a great guide, someone who can lead you, inspire you, comfort and strengthen you, especially when the going gets tough, as it inevitably will. For me, my simple faith has so often brought light to a dark path, joy to a cold mountain, and strength to a failing body. Jesus is my backbone, my companion, my friend." So I think we need a Bear Grylls approach to hard times. The Bible tells us how when we go through difficult times, it proves our faith. It brings character through perseverance. And so trust is essential, that as we trust God, we don't look at the circumstance, but beyond circumstance, he is our congenial environment. We put our roots deep into him, into his spirit. So when difficult times come, we feel him walking in it with us. We don't feel distant. We don't feel like we're being punished because we understand the character of God. Now, the opposite of trust is fear. And if we're not trusting in God, often our life is exposed to fear instead. We become blown about by worry, by circumstance. We become a victim to anything that happens to us. We become unstable. But a mature Christian will take responsibility for their own life, to rise up and take responsibility and not just feel blown about or a victim. Now, there's some things we can only do for ourselves. And we talked about this the other night at small groups together. Like if you go for a driving test, when you're learning to drive, many kind people can help you learn how to drive, borrow their car, drive with you, give you helpful advice. But at the end of the day, when you go for your driving test, it's just you. No one can pass the test for you. Only you can pass it. What about when you swam that first length in a swimming pool? People taught you, people helped you, you know, you had your little armbands, but eventually one day when you swam your first width, you were the only one who could do it. You did it for yourself. And in the same way, with our spiritual journey with God, only we can do it. We have to take responsibility for our own spiritual journey. Church can be a congenial environment. We can provide the best worship we can manage, the best teaching we can manage, the best small groups we can possibly do, the best youth and children's work that we can possibly do. We try our very, very best to create a congenial environment. But at the end of the day, it is our own personal responsibility. Nobody can read your Bible for you. Nobody can pray for you. I mean, they can pray for you. But they can't pray for you. They can't do your praying for you. Nobody can study the word for you. We have to take responsibility to do this ourselves. And as we go into 2013 as a year of flourishing, we know that to flourish, it doesn't happen by accident. We have to devote ourselves to these things and to our spiritual disciplines, that as we send those roots deep, that we are studying the Bible, that we are praying, that we're worshiping, that we're hearing from God, that we are walking closely with him. Nobody can do it for you or for me. We can only do it for ourselves. And so I want to encourage you that as we trust in God, our roots go deep like an anchor. And a life without his presence is bleak, but a life in his presence is like being planted by a river. So the second key to flourishing really is love, because Paul also talks about roots. And in Ephesians 3, he talks about being rooted and grounded in God's love. So our first flourishing tip is to trust, and the second is love. Now listen to this beautiful scripture here in Ephesians 3. Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's the trust bit, that the power of God comes on us to trust him. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of God's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. How can you and I be filled to full measure? I don't think any of us started on this journey with Jesus to have a little measure. We want to know the full measure of being with God. And this is the key here that Paul writes, that we be rooted and established in love, that we grasp how much we're loved and we know his love. So we just look at those quickly. Rooted, that is our decision to trust, that we become rooted in love, our decision that says no more wavering on the fence. I'm going to make that decision to trust in God for my whole life. And as we do that, our roots go down. And Paul prays that we'd be strengthened in the power of the Spirit to be able to trust and walk in faith. The second one is to grasp how much we are loved, the enormity of Jesus' love. I just want you to think about this for a moment. How much do you think Jesus loves you? Does he love you as much as the person sitting next to you? Does he really love you? Or does he just love everyone else? Do we really grasp, Paul says here, how wide, how deep, how long is the love of Jesus? Jesus loves you so much. His love is limitless. It is without end. He loves you so much that he came to this earth as a man, went all the way to the cross to die in our place, rose again, sent us the Holy Spirit, and his love for us is without limit. He really, really loves you. And Paul says the key to living in the fullness of God is to grasp how much he loves you. And that this is a work of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit helps us. He gives us the power to grasp it. Because he goes on to say, we need to know that love, but it's a love beyond knowing. It surpasses all knowledge. But to know that love, to know the unknowable. Now, here today, for us to truly grasp the love of God in our lives will transform us. It will transform our lives. We'll no longer be worried if we're accepted by him, if we've got to tick all the boxes, if we feel guilty or estranged from him, we're not sure if he approves of us. When we truly grasp the love of God for us, we will be free. We'll have complete freedom in knowing how much he loves us. So as we move on now, let's just pray. Because Paul says it's by the Holy Spirit that we know this. So let's pray right now. Lord God, you say through Paul's words here that it's by the power of your Spirit that if we could only grasp how deep, how wide, how long, how high is your love, if we could just grasp that. And I pray, Lord, that we'll grasp that right now of how vast your love is for us. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, when we look at how Jesus lived, and we just look at his life, look how he behaved with people, how he went out of his way, how he loved his friends, how he served, how he cried at the death of Lazarus and went and raised him back to life. When we look at how Jesus lived, we know that if we'd been alive right then, we might have been round the fire when he had dinner with Mary, Martha and Lazarus, when he'd be round his friend's house at Bethany, that we would be part of that. But more than that, Jesus is not restricted to one place and one time, but he is with us all the time. And when we look at how he went all the way to the cross for us, he loves you, he cares for you. He says this, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And the key to being free from doubt and fear or trying to prove ourselves, paralyzed by anxiety of what others think, or just not being able to grasp the fullness of God, is knowing that love of Jesus upon our lives. And lastly, to be rooted is, I think really we can't finish this without abandonment. That really, when we understand how much God loves us, what can we do but abandon our lives to him? And to take that step of truly trusting him with our whole life, to absolutely take the plunge of resting our whole life in his arms. And so we come to totally trust him, abandon ourselves to him. And it's a little bit like giving yourself up to when, you know, at the end of a long day and you get into a hot bath. And you have that, moment when you just surrender to that wonderful feeling of that, you know, heat around your body. And you kind of surrender to that. That's the same surrender. It's a kind of letting go into the hands of God. That God wants us to just let go into his arms, that he will look after us and care for us and abandon ourselves totally to him. Just that letting go. So, at the start of this year, let's make the decision to be totally abandoned to Jesus with our life, to give him our home life, our work life, every aspect of our life, to give it totally into his hands with complete trust, that we rest, that we trust in him. and that we understand his love. And I would want to encourage you to keep a notebook this year. Make notes on the character of God. Look like those kids this morning. Weren't they amazing how they'd learn those verses? Let us learn again the characteristics of who God is and understand his love, because it will change us. And then we will be rooted along the riverbank as a tree with our roots deep down in his spirit, giving our whole trust and knowing the full measure. So in 2013, the year to flourish. How do we flourish? We put our roots down deep by trusting in the one true God, by understanding how much he loves us and choosing to abandon our life totally to him. Three simple keys: trust, love, and abandon. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for those words from Jeremiah, just painting that bleak desert place. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be in a desert, alone, separated from you. Oh Lord, we thank you for the picture of a tree with its roots deep in the river. And we don't have to fear when hard times come. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to develop our trust in you, that you are unchanging, that you never change, that you are faithful, that you love us. Lord, I pray that as our roots go deep, we just be full of your Holy Spirit in our life. Help us when difficult times come. And Lord, we pray that you help us to grasp the enormity of your love, how much you love us, that we can relax and rest in all that you have done. There's your grace upon our lives. I pray that you'll communicate deep to our spirit your love. And Lord, we choose once again to abandon ourselves to you. You have the very answer to life. Where else would we go? And Lord, we, at the start of this year, again, abandon our life into your hands. We pray that your purposes for us will help us prioritize and have clear sight. And we pray, Lord, that you will come upon us as a church afresh with your spirit, that, Lord, we will be a body together that truly flourish individually and together. Help us to grow, Lord, vigorously and strong. Pray, Lord, that you'll help us where sometimes we've become weak or lazy in not reading your word or praying. We pray, Lord, that you will help us by the power of your spirit to just be engaged in these things that will help us grow in our relationship with you. And we pray, Lord, for your spirit to be upon us, that we truly be a people marked out by your spirit. Lord Jesus, we pray, come upon us now, that we will walk in strength this year, that we will be a people who flourish. In the name of Jesus, amen.